saving money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection. Choose from 26 stylish colors and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now.
And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Ryan Porth, Joe Rex Road will be along here with us shortly, reacting all morning long to a big Titans win yesterday, 30-24 in overtime against the Baltimore Ravens. We've got a loaded show for you here today. Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville will join us at 7:30, as he does each and every week at this time. And also Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock from News 2 will join us. We'll get hot and heavy into the big Titans game yesterday. As always, we'll get your reaction all show long on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And man, what a win it was yesterday for the Titans. And I'll be honest, there was a point in the game where I thought the Titans were in serious trouble. I even had like a tweet drafted up about, hey man, the Titans are going to start 5-0 and totally miss the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, Ryan Tannehill, that Titans offense, they put together just enough in the second half of that game to come back, force overtime, and then get the job done in overtime. What a win for the Titans. And their big-time players came up in big-time moments, both on offense and defense. And we know how big of a problem it's been defensively for the Titans as of late. But I tell you what, that stop they made in overtime, which is always nerve-wracking when you go into overtime, you've lost the toss and your defense has to get on the field first. I know a lot of Titans fans, when they lost that coin flip yesterday in overtime, were thinking, oh no, Baltimore just drove right down the field to tie that game up at 24 with the field goal by Justin Tucker. But the Titans defense comes up with the stand of the season so far. They force a punt, and then Derrick Henry comes back and finishes the job after that. What a win for the Titans. They move to 7-3 on the season, 30-24 in overtime against the Ravens. And just an incredible second half in that game. The A.J. Brown touchdown, I think he drug literally the entire Ravens team with him into that end zone. We talked about how difficult it is to tackle A.J. Brown, and how maybe the trio that the Titans have of Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, and Jonnu Smith may be the most difficult trio in the league to tackle. That was on full display yesterday. Derrick Henry got cooking in the second half. A.J. Brown, that touchdown he had to give the Titans the lead in the fourth quarter was one of the most incredible touchdowns I've ever seen. So a big-time win for the Titans yesterday, moving to 7-3, and now a huge showdown looming on Sunday against the Colts, which we'll have a lot of time to talk about this week. But without further ado, I bring in my co-host of the show, Joe Rexrode, somewhere live in Virginia after being at the Ravens game yesterday. Joe, what's going on?
Yeah, you got me?
Everybody's all good. Me? Yes, sir.
Loud and clear. Yeah. Pretty incredible. Pretty incredible finish there. You know, like you said, that stand in overtime. And obviously, Derrick Henry is a heck of an overtime finisher. You know, I think we're going to break down all aspects of this game today. But, you know, Ryan Tannehill, it's like he snapped out of a trance or something, you know, because I thought he was playing maybe his worst football I've seen in the first half, like missing on some gimmies. And he was so good from the middle of third quarter on. He was back to the dude we were talking about as an MVP. And that's why, to me, if you had to list all the reasons they won, I start there.
Tannehill finishes 22 of 31, 259 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. But to your point, Joe, man, what a performance by him in the second half when they needed to have some of those big-time throws. He made it, whether it was to A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, another huge day, 5 catches, 113 yards. Every time they threw Corey Davis the ball, I had confidence he was coming down with it. Just a great day yesterday from Davis and A.J. Brown making the big plays when it mattered the most.
Yeah, no, great point. I mean, Corey Davis, he's really having a heck of a year at this point. And it's you're still waiting for, you know, Humphreys to get in there with those two guys and to see what that'll look like. Although I thought, you know, Cam Batson did a nice job at times of kind of filling that Humphreys role. But Corey Davis, big time game. And, you know, this is, of course, the first time he talked. First time he did an interview since losing his brother too. So It was an emotional day for him too, and emotional kind of moments in those interviews after the game. But those two guys are awfully good. And like you said, I mean, the AJ Brown touchdown, that was one of those things where so press box, you know, the Ravens sideline is closer to the press box. Titans are across the field. And, you know, it's like a zombie apocalypse scene with nobody in the stadium. You could hear the Titans sideline going nuts on the A.J. Brown touchdown from, you know, across the field in the press box. The whole sidelines was just on fire. I mean, that was one of those things that, like you said, I mean, I haven't seen too many TDs like that. He just basically ripped through half a defense.
Yeah, it was incredible. And the whole game was chippy, like right from the start. And, Joe, you know you were there. I mean, some pregame festivities, the Titans meeting up on the Ravens logo. John Harbaugh didn't like that. He and Malcolm Butler started barking back and forth at each other, which eventually led to Vrabel and him barking back and forth at each other before the game. Just a pretty intense feel to this game yesterday. It felt like an old-school Titans-Ravens rivalry a little bit.
Yeah, you know, they do that thing where they gather, and I mean, it didn't look to me like they were doing anything but just hopping around and, you know, getting excited. But I guess if you're going to go directly on a team's logo, someone will get mad about it.
People get really upset about these logos in the world of sports. Really upset.
Yeah, apparently, you know. But the Harbaugh and Butler, and then there was all this stuff about, you're the one who introduced the idea to me on Twitter.
Yes, I am.
The wave off, or so it kind of looked. Although I don't know if I don't know if there's any other video out there. I mean, I don't know that is definitive. But Vrabel was adamant. I mean, he was just like, no. And they both said they shook hands. So I don't know. I mean,
there's video evidence of them not shaking hands, but they could say what they want.
Right.
But the camera does not lie.
So you're talking about that quick clip?
Yes.
Yeah, but see, the problem with running with that is that they could have before that. That looked like what Vrabel said, which was that he came back and asked about, you know, the whatever the pregame, and Harbaugh said, no, no big deal. It could have been that too. This is where these little video clips can be deceiving, because you don't see the entire thing. So I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, when I look at that clip and then I hear what they said, I'm like, yeah, that wasn't necessarily the only time they interacted either. You know what I mean? But regardless, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know why Vrabel is going to go out of his way to, to protect Harbaugh whatever from, but either way, it was chippy. And that was throughout the game. There was more oomph to this game probably because of what happened before. And, you know, here's one example is Lamar Jackson after the bomb to Mark Andrews. He goes out of his way to bump Butler in the end zone. And so whoever lost that game was going to feel it a little bit more because of all that stuff.
I can't believe we've gotten 10 minutes into the show now and nobody's talked about just the throw of the day, the absolute dime from Logan Woodside. What a pass by Logan Woodside on the fake punt. It was perfect.
Man, you talk about, like, it's a fake that works, but you're talking about a tight window throw to a receiver who has not been great at catching the ball, who gets the first down by about an inch.
Let me ask you this. I mean, how did nobody on the Ravens see that Logan Woodside was out there? Like, oh, there's the backup quarterback. I wonder if they might be running a fake punt here.
Well, they covered it great. I mean, yeah. Right? I mean, they covered the heck out of the play. It's just basically, man to man, and he beat him by an inch. So, like, that's, you know, like, as it unfolds real quickly, it doesn't look good for the Titans. You know what I mean? I mean, it's usually when those fakes, you like to like really school a team and get a lot of open space. And this was not that at all. But yes, Logan Woodside is perfect in his NFL passing career. And Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, although it was not a great weekend for Indiana football, although I was impressed with them, he gives the Hoosiers a little bit more love on a Sunday.
Man, what a game. I mean, we talked about special teams all week last week, and I'll give him credit. Steven Goskowski, 3 of 3 yesterday. Trevor Daniel, no disasters in the punting game yesterday. All in all, a much improved day for the special teams units yesterday.
Yeah, Goskowski before the game, you know, we're all watching him, and I think actually 2 in a row he hit the cross, or not the, hit the post, the left post. You know, 2 in a row, which I was like, man, he may be just trolling us, because that's pretty impressive. Like, he might just be trying to hit the post and messing with us right now. But, you know, of course, those are, those are hooks. And you're like, so is he trying to, like, overcompensate? And I know that first field goal, I think if it's a couple yards back, I think he might push that, right?
Yeah.
It's still, but the others look good. So, yeah, so he goes from 12 to 20. To 15 to 23, and I mean, I think justifies. You still don't necessarily feel great about the whole thing, but justifies not moving on to an unknown. And maybe he'll get going now. like you said, Trevor Daniel, he had one really good punt with hang time and landing 52 yards.
All that practice paid off.
Joe. Practice. We're talking about practice, and it matters.
Maybe Trevor Daniel was just pretending that it was practice.
Maybe that's what he was doing.
That's a good point. In an empty stadium, it's not that hard to pretend, man.
Yeah.
Very weird.
And then we'll get to this a little bit later, too. My beloved Packers let down Titans fans everywhere yesterday with a total collapse in the second half. It was fun to watch.
Unbelievable. Like, I mean, the possession the Colts had, you know, when it looked like they were going to – I mean, how many holdings in a row did they – it was incredible.
Yeah.
And then that pass from Aaron Rodgers.
Unbelievable.
I tell you what, you know, just incredible. But, man, I said it at the time. I said, do not spike this. Take the play. They had plenty of time to take all three plays, but Rodgers spiked that first one, which left them with two shots at the end zone. I mean, maybe they don't get the third, but boy, I think if you give that guy three cracks at it,
he would have got it. Yeah.
You know, so, hey, AFC South looking pretty good.
Looking pretty
Both
good.
Both of those teams help themselves in the wild card situation. And this is a game of the year coming up, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's going to be a great game. We're going to have all week to talk about it. By the way, just so you know, if you're all stuffed and hungover from Thanksgiving, hanging around at the house, we'll be here Friday morning. We got some football to talk about on Black Friday. So make sure you're tuned in all week long with us here on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5. The game. When we come back, how did the Titans come back in this game? They're down 21-10. All hope seemed to be lost. How did they pull off what happened next in the second half? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game.
Goes to Brown. Trying to wiggle free. Still fighting for it. Brown takes it all the way. Unbelievable effort. Henry getting free. Henry's going to end the game. Titans take it in overtime.
We talk about his second half surge. It just starts to wear you down. And you saw the effort Henry gave. Cut back. Finish. Get through the arm tackle. And Tennessee survives on the road.
And they win in Baltimore for the second time in 2020.
You know, we talked about it all week, that it's packed up in there. And we're going to have to start doing things that'll break us away from the pack. And today was a great step. It was a great team win.
Two huge plays for the Titans yesterday in the second half in their 30-24 overtime win against the Ravens to improve to 7-3. On the season. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe Rex Road, you were at the game yesterday in Baltimore. So paint the scene for us. The Titans are down 21-10 in the game. I think it was 21-13 heading into the fourth quarter. How did they put themselves in position to get back in the game when it looked pretty bleak in the second half and ultimately find a way to win?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the big plays of this game was that Amani Hooker pick and, you know, a bad pass by Lamar Jackson. I mean, watching the Ravens, certainly, you know, Hollywood Brown, I just wasn't impressed with him. I think they really right now are struggling at receiver. You know, they're trying to get Duvernay going. I mean, you got Dez Bryant sightings, you know, so that should tell you something. But I thought that play was really big because, I mean, that was really the Ravens going for the kill shot at that point. So I think there was some lift from that particular play, but I don't have a great explanation. And I mean, I actually kind of asked Tannehill this question, which was sort of, you know, basically like, was there something that sort of got you in a rhythm? Because, you know, again, it's not like the protection got better during the game. It got worse for him in terms of who was, you know, blocking for him with the injuries.
Yep.
You know, so it's not like they figured something out other than you got to get the ball out fast. And, I mean, I think those guys battled. I mean, this was like as gutty as it gets. And the Ravens are banged up too. But you think about all the guys who normally don't play who had a hand in this win. It's a ton of guys. And, again, you think about David Quisenberry as your left tackle on that drive. I think that was the drive of the year. The drive to go ahead that ended with A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
But even before that, you know, they started to do some things. I mean, I also think another single play that was huge was the throw to Corey Davis for 50 yards. You know, that drive got blown up because, and this is, I think, one of the worst, probably the worst moment for Titans coaches was when Jameel Douglas comes in. Because Ben Jones gets poked in the eye.
It's awful.
And they go Wildcat.
Awful. Like I saw them line up in the Wildcat and literally was in my room screaming at the television, "What are you doing? He's coming into the game. He hadn't snapped the ball all game. And you're going to go in the Wildcat." And sure enough, disaster.
Wasn't that the drive, too, where Derrick Henry left early because he got popped?
Maybe, yeah.
It was, yes. So the very first play of that drive, he went up and down, and you're like, uh-oh, what? And that, it was actually the first play that he left the field. So at that point, you know, so that's the sequence. So it's 21-10. The Ravens have the ball, and you're like, man, the Titans might just get blown out today, right? So then you get so 21-10, and that is actually the play before the Henry was the touchdown. Then you get the Henry injury, and you're like, what will this team look like today at the end of the day? Blown out, and, like, everyone's hurt, including, like, the indestructible Derrick Henry. And then the play that he leaves the field is that 50-yard bomb to Davis, which is like, oh, okay, so they're going to keep fighting. I mean, that single play was huge. But, yeah, then, you know, then you get into the bad snap. They have to settle for three. You know, but I do think that was it. And then the very next possession is the bomb at 21-13. So, again, if they hit on that, then, you know, the Titans are probably at some point just not going to be able to keep coming back. But they get the pick, and that eventually then leads to another field goal drive. But now they're in a game, and, you know, you can kind of see the pressure tightening up a little bit on the Ravens. I just said tighten up.
Yeah, you did. It only took you 2 seconds. That's what I'm talking about. Rex Rhodes in prime form today. I will say, though, on that drive where A.J. Brown scores, and they're playing it right now, I mean, it's on ESPN, it's on Good Morning Football, it's all over the place with A.J. Brown. But that drive, I mean, the mix of Derrick Henry, you know, getting cooking a little bit, running in that game, and also just some big throws by Tannehill. That's when the offense, I think, found another gear and just made big plays when they had to have them. And then, I mean, just the play by A.J. Brown. He had one earlier on that drive where he broke like 2 tackles on that one as well down the sideline on the left side of the field and then came back and just absolutely steamrolled his way into the end. That was one of the most impressive touchdowns by a Titans wide receiver I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, it's interesting with AJ because obviously we're going to just, this is going to be a years long thing with AJ and like, where does he rank in the NFL? You know, where, and we've had this already a lot this year and he's kind of, you know, he's had some little bit of some rough moments here, obviously against the Colts, that drop. And yesterday, you know, it just, they weren't able to get him involved, but I will say that just yard after the catch, get the ball in his hands. I don't know how many receivers in this league are scarier than him. You know, Vrabel calls it play strength, but I mean, he has the ability to immediately, you know, put it into gear after getting the ball is it's pretty amazing. And I mean, that play, it was, as you watched it unfold, it was just like, what? But he just kept going. And I mean, what was Derrick Henry's quote was like, I was like, what in the world? You know, pretty special stuff.
It was in the defense. Look, they had their moments yesterday where it was a problem and the Ravens were able to move the ball. But by and large, even with the Ravens and the offense and how much they've struggled, I thought the defense played just about as well as you could have asked for or expected from them yesterday. They hold Lamar to 17 of 29 passing, 186 yards, one touchdown, one interception. They allowed J.K. Dobbins to get rolling a little bit. He had 70 yards on 50 carries, and Lamar added another 51 on the ground. But as far as the passing game is concerned, I thought the Titans did a pretty good job defensively in not allowing the Ravens to push the ball down the field and hurt them that way.
They did. Now, if you try to take this game to the – this is where – look, this is not as difficult an assignment from a pass defense perspective, both in terms of receivers. I mean, the one guy who really was hurting them was Mark Andrews, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, five catches for 96. He had the TD, but he also – you know, he had another big play over the middle, in the middle of that zone, and Lamar missed him on another one that would have been a big play. But, yeah, I mean, look, when they had to man up and stuff, you know, like Desmond King with the huge play, I mean, they made enough plays. And the run game, I mean, the numbers are not great. You know, 33 for 129 for the Ravens. And like you said, Dobbins had some nice runs in there. But I thought still – overall, they hung in there in a lot of cases on those first down runs and put them in second and long. And, you know, a lot of guys, again, Jayon Brown, that just didn't look good. Mm. And frankly, I have not seen the replay yet. And I don't intend to watch it.
You don't want to watch it.
But, you know, that could be long term. And you got, I thought Will Compton came in and ran around and made plays, and the guy gets six tackles. And, you know, filling in like that. And that's not an easy assignment. You're coming into a different kind of defensive game, and you've spent all week just trying to prepare yourself mentally for that. And that cannot be easy.
Yeah, and Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network reporting yesterday, Jayon Brown suffered a dislocated and a fractured elbow and is out for the season. So that is a massive loss for the Titans there on defense.
Yes, that's brutal. I mean, this is where David Long needs to, you know, come into play. I mean, Amani Hooker is there for them at safety with Vaccaro out, and it's good to have that depth, you know. And this is where, you know, for as well as Compton played, and you got to totally tip your cap to him, I think this is where a guy like David Long, you know, really needs to get involved and make a difference.
He does, and certainly going to be interesting to see what the Titans defense can do as they move forward here. When we come back, we'll get to your text. Got a lot to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Your reaction to yesterday's big Titans win against the Ravens. We'll also break down how the Titans' best players on offense got it done at the end of that game when it mattered the most. That coming up next. But first, Joe, you've got a word from FanDuel.
I do, and a word for people who may be watching games on a weekend, seeing ads for FanDuel Sportsbook and wondering if it's legal in Tennessee. The answer is yes, it is. FanDuel Sportsbook, legal in Tennessee. and you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free. Get up to $1,000 back, $1,000 back if you don't win. No strings attached. Place any bet you want. If you win, you win. You get the money. If you lose, you can get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit, and you can take another shot. I immediately think this week of the Tennessee-Vanderbilt rivalry game that will be here in Nashville. I'm sure that's a very interesting game on both sides of the coin there. I believe I've seen something where Tennessee, you know, right around an 11-point favorite. I mean, I could see a strong case to go either side of that bet. And whichever side you go, if it goes the other way on you, you can get your money back. And, of course, with FanDuel Sportsbook, it's not just risk-free bets. You got a simple app. You got live betting in every game. You got all kinds of types of bets. You can do game parlays, combine multiple games. You can combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And, of course, every time you win, you get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. So to claim your risk-free bet, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Be sure to sign up with promo code WPRT so they know I sent you. FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code WPRT. And you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789.
We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Goes to Brown. Brown trying to wiggle free. Still fighting for it. Brown takes it all the way. Unbelievable effort.
Brown, we just got done talking about his ability to run after catch. Catch, caught, tackled, basically. Gets free. Now the other people. He'll be down. Boom, gets free again.
Let's start with that touchdown, man. It's just a bunch of effort to get in the end zone. What are you thinking as that's going on?
It was a slow start for me. Didn't really get my hands on the ball early. Whenever I got a chance, like right then, he called my number. I was just trying to really just break a tackle. Didn't know I could get to the end zone, and I just felt somebody on my back, and I looked back at my teammate. I was like, we here, we made it.
That was A.J. Brown from the Titans after the game yesterday. A big 30-24 win for the Titans in overtime against the Ravens to improve to 7-3 on the season. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And seriously, like, Joe, I thought I was watching something out of a Marvel movie on that play. It looked like A.J. Brown was the Incredible Hulk, and everything in his path was just getting completely and utterly obliterated on the way to the end zone. It was amazing.
Just blown up like the Thing or something. That was something else. That's the play that will be, you know, replayed over and over. You know, like, we know we'll see the Derrick Henry 99-yarder forever. And, you know, there's a few other Derrick Henry, you know, some stiff arm plays. Poor Josh Norman. Play that doesn't even count with Josh Norman will get replayed a million more times, like, by the end of the year. But this one will have shelf life to it.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron text in, I tell you what, if A.J. Brown's run doesn't win the Angry Run Award on Good Morning Football, I don't know what to do. I think there's a pretty good chance he's going to win that.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, they like to find the, you know, they'll find the random, you know, Jaguars Panthers game 3-yard run where someone just gets, you know, lifted off their cleats or something like that. But, and this is one of those that's just played all over the league. But how does it not win?
I'll also say that touchdown bailed out Arthur Smith.
What do you mean?
Because it was 2nd and 2.
Oh, yeah.
And Tannehill at like the 6-yard line. And then Tannehill goes from under center back into shotgun and then drops the snap.
Yeah.
They lose 8 yards. Where
Nate Washington on Twitter, by the way, was going nuts about it. He's like, what are you lining up in the shotgun
so
for?
Many times yesterday, they just kept going away from Derrick Henry and not feeding him play after play like they probably should have. And that was Derrick Henry ran at 8 yards on first down, gets it down to the 6-yard line. 2nd and 2, they have all this momentum, and then they lose 8 yards because they're getting away from Henry, and then A.J. Brown makes that incredible play. And then we all forget about it. And then Arthur Smith actually drew up a good play on the 2-point conversion, which was a huge 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about the touchdowns of A.J. and Derrick Henry, but that 2-point conversion was pretty big to get them into overtime.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, you've got, you got Henry for, so it was second and four, I believe, right?
It was second and two from the six.
Second and two from the six? Okay. I mean, there's that. There's also, you know, the previous possession was another kind of departure from Henry, you know, where they had third down. I believe it was third and two, and they decide to, to throw it instead of go with Henry, you know, and then they decide to kick it, which Vrabel was asked about after the game. Like, I didn't have a huge problem kicking there. I mean, I think, like, obviously you set yourself up for what happened later, but you could have made the case to go at that point, down 21-13. But, you know, they kicked, and so that was, I'm trying to remember. So, yes, it was third and two from the four, and Henry had been running really well. And they, because you could make the case, try to get it in four down mindset, and if you give Henry two cracks, from the 4-yard line, chances are pretty good. But they threw, Tannehill had to throw high to first year in the kick. So, yeah, there were some, I would say there were definitely some ups and downs with some of the calls. And like I said, we've already talked about the snap situation with Jamil Douglas. Ultimately, you know, the good thing about this win, you put the ball in your playmakers' hands, and that's what the Titans have. They've got some elite playmakers.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill text in, says the two unsung decisions on the day are, number one, the decision to kick the field goal to make it 21-16 instead of going for it on 4th and 2 like I was screaming for at my television. And then the Tannehill keeper on the 2-point conversion. That was a great call. That was. I mean, I thought Arthur Smith had a pretty rough day yesterday, being honest with you, especially in the first part of that game. That call for Tannehill was beautiful. I mean, Derrick Henry dives in and like 9 guys are going for Derrick Henry. Tannehill, he had all day. Then he did his little celebration again in the end zone and landed it better this time. So that was nice to see, too.
I don't think he jumped, though.
He jumped after.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. He jumped when he was already in.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it was a little bit of an alternative celebration. Yeah. Right.
Good.
Well, the thing with Arthur Smith is, you know, so this is the second straight game where they came out with the first position and just absolutely came right down the field and scored, right? They go, well, they got a – you know, you got a bomb to A.J. Brown on the first play of the game, taking a shot. By the way, he should have caught that. He would have been over 100 yards in the game, but it's still a 39-yard pass interference. I thought they had a really nice first drive. You get the direct snap to Cam Batson. You get this really cool play where you swing Henry out like a flare, and then, you know, you get the Ravens moving that way and to get Johnny the ball in the middle of the field. So early, it's like, they got a, you know, that's like the scripted stuff is working beautifully. And then it was quite a while before they got it going again. But I do think that of all the factors there, I mean, I think the biggest factor is Tannehill, you know, early in this game, not being comfortable at all.
No, and you could tell, and, you know, he fought through it, overcame it later in the game, obviously got the ball to his two best playmakers in A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry. And we haven't talked a lot yet about the run itself that Derrick Henry had in overtime, but somebody tweeted out like a diagram of it last night, and it literally makes an L. So Titans fans were having a lot of fun with that. Like the pathway of him running into the end zone when they tracked his movements drew out an L for the Ravens, and Titans fans loved that.
It was so beautiful.
It was awesome. It really was. It was incredible. And just a great run by Derrick Henry. That cutback. When he cut the ball back and took off, I was like, how many guys in the NFL in its history can run with the power that dude runs with and then make that type of a cutback and just run away from everybody? I mean, it was unbelievable.
No, it was. And the thing is, too, even before all that, at some point, and I think this happens every week, I mean, that guy takes such a pounding. Like, I mean, teams are, and I know, look, this is why people are hesitant to pay running backs. This is, I mean, they take a beating like really no other position. But that guy in particular, I mean, people try to hit him as hard as they can. Every chance they get, they rally to the ball, and he goes in there and just takes that. And, again, you had that one moment where it looked like, oh, he's finally going to get hurt. comes right back out. He's just been such a great player this year. You know, whether he has the numbers or not in a given game, I think he's at the height of his game this year. And you know, there's probably, you look at this schedule, I mean, it's obviously a very tough defense ahead. He may have some real big days ahead of him down the stretch and end up with a real special season. But either way, I marvel at this guy, at how he does this week after week and is stronger than everyone else. And when he ran, it was an impressive cut and all that too. I swear the Ravens looked like the most tired defense I'd ever seen. It was like they just wanted to flop to the ground and stop chasing him. I mean, they were just done.
Well, there's been a narrative with Derrick Henry that I think has come true more times than not, and that is in the second half of games and the second half of the season wears down defenses. And
right. He
totally wore down that Ravens defense.
He did. Romo talked about that a lot yesterday on the broadcast. By the way, I think it was a very good day for Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. They sounded disinterested to be there in the first half.
Yes.
But they got better, I guess, as the game went along. But Romo talked about, you know, Derrick Henry's ability to wear defenses down in the second half. And A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry make the two highlight plays of the day for the Titans. Here's what quarterback Ryan Tannehill had to say about his two playmakers after the game yesterday.
You know, those guys made big plays. Derrick ran hard all day, had some really big runs for us. Corey made some big plays down the field for us. AJ, of course, you mentioned, obviously, just going beast mode there on those two plays at the end of the fourth quarter. So, really, guys stepped up. Firkser makes some big plays for us. One up there down, another one earlier in that drive in the fourth quarter. So, guys that made plays all the way around. And really just when we're at our best, that's what's happening is guys are making plays all across the offense.
And that's exactly what happened for the Titans yesterday in the second half. Big plays at big times, and now 7-3, another win in Baltimore. And I tell you what, the Ravens, they could be in some pretty serious trouble. They got Pittsburgh coming up on Thursday. Pittsburgh wins again yesterday. Pretty massive game coming up for the Ravens. 6-4 now, out of the playoff picture. And Joe, if you would have told me that before the season, I would have said you were crazy. But here we are, 10 games in for the Ravens, 6-4.
Yeah, you know, there's always the Titan side of this is what a gritty, gutty win, and, you know, Tannehill and all this stuff and Brown and Henry. On the other side, it is it's pretty dire over there. And, you know, look, they're also really banged up, obviously. I mean, they need those guys back on D. Get Campbell and Williams back. I think they're a different defense altogether. You know, look, and Lamar Jackson, there's limitations, obviously. He is not going to be this prolific, quick-fire passer. I also don't think he's getting a lot of help, but they've got to run the ball. I mean, they've got to run the ball well and do what they do. I still think that they could certainly go on a run. They got a much lighter schedule after Pittsburgh, but if they get to 6-5 this week, you know, at some point, some of those locker room things also come into play maybe.
When we come back, the Titans have been waiting for a moment on the defensive side of the ball all season long to come through, and yesterday they finally got it. We'll talk about what that is next. Continue to get your reaction as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning, reacting to a big Titans win yesterday, 30-24 in overtime against the hated Baltimore Ravens. Titans 2-for-2 in their trips to Baltimore in the year of 2020. So 2020 has sucked in many ways, but that has been a very good silver lining for the Titans. Two wins in Baltimore. Let's go back to our text line real quickly, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texted in. Did y'all see the ESPN guy yesterday posting Travis Henry for the win? I bet the real Travis Henry that retired was like, yep, I sure won that game. Did y'all see that yesterday on the ESPN app? It listed Travis Henry. It says, I've got it pulled up here on Twitter. It's like the video highlight of Derrick Henry running in for the touchdown. And the headline is Travis Henry runs in the winning touchdown for the Titans in overtime. Pretty incredible.
Wow. Flashbacks to some really good fantasy teams I used to have with Travis Henry. That's going back.
At least Travis Henry used to play for the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, What's a guy got to do to get a little respect? Derrick Henry.
Man.
Get his name.
Of all people. Yeah, of all people who's not going to be respected, Derrick Henry.
A top 10 player in the National Football League.
Yeah, it was Travis Henry in there. Look, I've got plenty of good Travis Henry memories, but yesterday, not one of them. That belonged to Derrick.
Well, things happen.
Yes. Yes, they do. Joe, we've been waiting all season long for the Titans defense to come up with a big moment. And it feels like time and time again that they've let you down in that aspect. And we've talked a lot about how much they've struggled defensively this year. I thought when Baltimore won the toss, especially given how quickly they drove down the field, which to end regulation, which, by the way, like I thought a touchdown was coming for the Ravens driving down the field in that two-minute drive. The Titans hold on. They force a field goal, and then the Ravens win the toss, and you thought to yourself, man, this is very similar to the Houston game where you win the toss, you feel like you're going to go down there and score. And the Titans defense, I mean, they came up huge on that series. A gigantic sack by Harold Landry, just a huge defensive stand to ultimately give the ball back to the Titans, and then Derrick Henry wins it from there. That's the moment from the Titans defense that I've been waiting on all year.
Yeah, I mean, it's Harold Landry is a guy we've talked about him too, a guy who absolutely just gives his all at all times. And for him to come up with that sack on second down, second and eight, and he gets the 9-yard sack. And then, you know, the Titans just kind of play back. The Ravens tried the little screen to Dobbins. They rallied to it, stopped it. But that play by Landry was one of the plays of the game. But I mentioned Desmond King. I mean, here's how close this game was to being a completely different conversation, because the one thing that, of course, you hear about Lamar Jackson is, you know, if they get behind, like he can't go down the field. It's just not his game. He's got to play from ahead and run the ball. I mean, so go back to that drive after the Titans score. Just monster emotional moment. A.J. Brown, play of the day. Go back to that drive real quick. Lamar hits Snead for 8. He keeps for 8. He gets Andrews for a first down. He gets 14 on a run. He gets Bryant for 16 yards. Then he throws what would have been a walk-in touchdown to Hollywood Brown.
Yep.
On a little receiver screen. But the Ravens have a false start, and you get the 10-second runoff. But then he hits Snead for 9 more. Gets it to the 11. I mean, Lamar Jackson is ripping down the field to win the game and shut everyone up and say, see, I can do this too. I can direct game-winning drives. And then that play, that's the next play, is after the Ravens take their last time out, you've got man coverage. And the Titans, again, played a whole bunch of zone yesterday. But, you know, in the red zone, you got a man up. And Desmond King got there and got his hand on that ball, because it's a touchdown if he doesn't, to Snead again. And again, this is Snead, nice player, but this is basically who Lamar Jackson is just leaning on in these situations. But then you get, if you guys remember the next play, this is where the Titans defense also really stepped up. 3rd and 6 from the 11, and I swear it was like, what, 15 seconds in the pocket and rolling out?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just all day, and you're holding your coverage that long, and he finally has to just throw it out of the end zone and then kick the field goal. But Desmond King, you know, and Harold Landry in particular, those two plays, or else, you know, again, all the discussion is about how Lamar Jackson has changed the narrative, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and even earlier in the game, I mean, the Titans defense had some big moments. You think back to after Tannehill throws that interception where he just got absolutely blasted on that play as well. The Titans are able to hold the Ravens to a field goal on that ensuing drive in the red zone, and Mike Vrabel talked about the red zone defense from his team yesterday. Here's what Vrabel had to say.
Yeah, Mike, you touched on it briefly there, but certainly had some big stops from your defense. Of course, the one in overtime, and then 3 out of 4 red zone stops too. How important were those in staying close and being able to come back there?
Huge. I think huge, and we just kept chipping away at it. Got off to a great start, and give them a lot of credit. That's a tough offense to game plan for, to prepare for. But I thought we executed the keys. Could always be better on third down. But, when you can make them kick field goals in the red zone, you have a chance. And coming up with the big stops when we did was key.
And that was Vrabel after the game yesterday talking about the red zone defense. And Joe, that, I mean, that's what today's NFL is. It's not really about your dominant defensive performances anymore, you know, keeping people completely off the scoreboard. The game is now where when you get in these high-pressure situations and you're in the red zone, if your defense can force the other team to kick field goals instead of scoring touchdowns, that's going to give you a pretty good chance to win at the end of the day, and that's what happened for the Titans yesterday.
Yeah, it's about that red zone defense. You know, third down defense still wasn't good for the Titans, but you know, earlier in the game too, Byard with a big pass breakup on what would have been a touchdown pass to Mark.
Great recovery by him on that play because he bit on the kind of the fake that they were going, and then Lamar lofted it up there. Great recovery by Byard to get back.
And that was one of a few plays too where Lamar is just a little bit late getting the ball out. You know, you can see that with this team is. Now, there were a couple other times where they could have had the Titans. I know another deep shot. I don't remember who was back in coverage on that one, but it was late. It was thrown late. You know, you mentioned how defenses, you're right. I mean, this league is an offensive league all the way. I didn't hear the Romo, Nance broadcast. Obviously, I was in the press box. I will say that yesterday, for a moment, was the most boring day ever. It was just quiet stadium, dreary day. These teams are playing a boring game. You look around the league and like every game is like 7-3 at the half, 7-0, 9-3.
Good day for the under yesterday.
Yes, it was just a weird day. And then of course a lot of games made up for it, like this one and the Packers and some of the other games, even like the Broncos Dolphins. But it was like just a weirdly boring defensive kind of day for a lot of it. And then it's like everybody snapped awake.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, I was real close to tweeting you guys yesterday, but had we lost in overtime, are we in quote-unquote Vandy win territory with where this team is given all of the injuries? It just seems like that's the mindset we have moved to for this season after starting 5-0. So if the Titans lose that game in overtime yesterday, Joe, what's the reaction today given all of the injuries the Titans have had to go through and went through yesterday in the game?
Okay, wait, I didn't understand. Vandy win?
Yeah, you know, like Vandy is in terms of, hey, if they get close, you consider that a win.
Oh, I see. Yeah. A Vandy win.
Yeah, yes. The moral victory.
Yeah, no, I don't think we'd be talking moral victory today, would we? We'd be talking about where is this team plummeting to?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we'd still be talking about game of the year because even with, let's say that the Titans had lost and you have the same result in Indianapolis and both teams easily could have lost. A game behind the Colts, you go beat them Sunday, you're back tied and you're back in position to win the division. But this would be more like Custer's last stand week rather than, okay, this team, has maybe got a chance to get some things turned around. Although I will say too, I mean, the Brown injury, the guy who makes the calls out there, that's going to be interesting how they handle it. But yeah, I don't think we'd be talking moral victories. I mean, it was very close to a fourth loss in five games, and there's just no spinning that.
When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans and Ravens. Get your reaction as well. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And what do we make of the Harbaugh and Vrabel stuff both before the game and after the game yesterday? We'll get a little bit deeper into that as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesale Link Studio powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 1025 The Game.